With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome to Squanderlust, the podcast about the emotional side of money, why our actions aren't always as good as our intentions, and what we can do about it. I'm your host, Martha Lawton, and today I'm talking to personal finance journalist and deal hunting blogger of bronny.co.uk, Bronny Hughes. Welcome, Bronny. Tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
Hi, Martha. Yeah, as you might have just heard, I am an ex-pro deal hunter. I used to work for various student websites hunting out cheap stuff, freebies online. And I now work for the Money Advice Service doing less deal hunting, but still, you know, talking about money. So good stuff.
Awesome. So I met you through the UK Money Bloggers, and we've been kind of chatting on Twitter a little bit for a while. And I noticed you had a kind of particular dislike of a certain kind of scammy nonsense that gets marketed to people who want help with their finances. So I thought, since you had an interest, I'd bring you on the show. Do you want to tell our listeners what that is?
Yeah, sure. So I have a special dislike for any type of, I don't know, paid for nonsense that is marketed at people who don't have a lot of money. When I heard about law of attraction courses or manifesting courses being sold by various people online, I wasn't best pleased. After looking into it, it's a lot of money sometimes, anything from £10 to £400 to pay for someone to give you some like universe bending tricks to help you get more money. That just, I just can't see how people market these as a way to make money when really it's just a way to spend money. But yeah.
Do you want to explain for those of our listeners who've been lucky enough never to come across manifesting as an idea? Can you describe what the idea is for us?
Sure. So in preparation for this podcast, I actually watched The Secret, which is probably the most well-known law of attraction piece of media. It's also a book. Basically, the key idea of law of attraction is whatever is going on in your head is what's attracted to you, like physically. You become what you think about the most. Thoughts become things. And the secret says, ask, believe, receive. So basically, if you think positively, then good things will happen to you. Or if you act like you already have something, then you will get that thing. But then on the like negative side, if you think negatively or something upsets you, then it just attracts more of that to you.
Okay.
I don't want any law of attraction people to say I'm explaining it wrong, because I'm using their words. So that's sort of how it works.
Okay. So the people who sell this idea of manifesting services, what do they call themselves? What kind of things do
they look for? Sometimes they just call themselves like a coach. Like sometimes they just call themselves a business coach, but then if you look into like what their course is actually about, it's all about, they use the word the universe. Mm-hmm. So it's just, so if you see the universe, manifesting, law of attraction, sometimes it's called new thought. That's like an old fashioned way of calling it. just anything to do with the universe or the word manifesting, just, you know, outside of astronomy, you never hear the word universe more than in law of attraction.
And so what do these coaches promise to do for people?
So they promise to change your thinking so that, like, you could, for example, ask the universe for a very specific thing. It can be anything from money to healing. In The Secret, she does say she actually healed her poor vision with the universe's power. So it really is anything. And they tell you to ask the universe for something very specific. And then if you follow their tips, then eventually the universe will give you that exactly.
Right. Right. Okay. And this is not involving you actually also then taking action towards the thing. It's literally just ask and it will be given to you.
No, it doesn't really say like, oh, work hard and this. It kind of says that things will come to you in like a way, like sometimes they go like, oh, sometimes you might have an idea in a dream that allows you to do this that will make you the money.
Right.
They kind of get around it so like you can really like bend their words so that it works out.
Right.
But yeah, basically it's not really about hard work or changing your like career path or anything like that. It always says like it's going to be like given to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a magical thinking kind of an idea, right?
It's definitely magical.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that sounds like a fairly simple idea. So why, what are you paying £400 for? What do these sort of tips or what do the coaches obviously do for you?
So the physical thing that you get from these £400 courses are often like access to the person who is selling them.
Mm-hmm.
And also access to like a Facebook group or right. worksheets. It's
right.
It is very like, they're not like, I don't know, it's they're not giving you like some huge manual. It's a lot of like just little tips.
Mm-hmm.
And then like sometimes some like 30 minute coaching calls mm-hmm. or something. One of the manifestors that really winds me up the most, because she like she also likes to like aim it directly at women, because she's like, women, you need to do this, which you know,
right.
She yes. said a couple of months ago on Instagram that she made £20,000 selling courses in one day.
Okay.
And I mean, even if all those people, I mean, even if they, in the minimum amount of people, they bought the £400 one, that's still a lot of people. It's like 50 people in a day. Mm-hmm. And you think that's not even like, how much time can they really get from this one person
mm-hmm.
if they're selling that yep. much in one day?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And they're making promises that the people who access their courses are going to have more money, better health, more happier lives in general.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Okay. I mean, do they provide anything that they consider to be evidence for this?
Oh, if you watch The Secret, which I don't really think you should because it was actually really hard to watch for me. I nearly turned it off a lot of times. But so in The Secret, people always have stories about asking for a certain amount of money and then it happening. And it's always these like anecdotal evidences that mm-hmm. aren't, you know, you can't really prove them. But, you know, and then you see people like this woman who said she made £20,000 in a day. Obviously, like she is proof that you make money.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, she is making money off selling people courses using herself as the proof. So it's kind of this like weird little
yeah.
circle. So I don't think like yeah. if you sign up for a course, you can start selling courses. I mean, you could try, but there's,
yeah.
you know, there's a saturation on these sort of things.
Yes, yes. It very quickly turns into a kind of Ponzi scheme, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, and I know that multi-level marketing is also, I mean, which sounds very similar, is also a dislike of yours.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
We don't really have time to go into that one. I think you picked on one of the things that is kind of one of the worries with this, is that it's not just the kind of unrealistic optimism, but it's also the fact that, you know, there's a victim blaming element in this as well, of saying bad things happen because of people having bad thoughts. And I know I looked into this a little bit before the conversation, and there was somebody who literally has blamed victims of natural disasters and genocides for the fact that these things have happened. Because
oh, yeah,
they said,
don't...
oh, wait.
They don't make exceptions. It's honestly, it's anything bad that happens to you is because of the way that you think.
Wow. There's kind of two sides to that. Because you're saying on the one hand, there's no need for systemic change where there's some kind of systemic discrimination or oppression going on. Just because a system is, if people are experiencing something bad happening and it's because of a systemic or policy reason that could be changed, no, it's not. It's because of their individual thinking. Well, that's clearly tosh. And it also says there's no need to hold perpetrators accountable, you know, which again, in some of these cases is just disgraceful.
Yeah, I mean, it's all you. It doesn't matter if someone attacked you in an alleyway. It was you. It's just bizarre to me.
Yeah, that's really quite horrifying. Why do you think people fall for this stuff? Like, what's the appeal?
I think it is the personalities of the people selling it, because even watching The Secret, which I was just eye rolling a lot through it, some of the people, it's just like they have these job titles and you're like, wow, he's a quantum physicist and he's saying The Secret is real. Or like, are they using quotes from people that are like quotes from Winston Churchill to kind of back this sort of stuff up? And it's just so easy. And then when you see these people on Instagram, these people obviously are very successful. You can just see it. They live in huge houses. They are making loads of money and they post about making loads of money. They're not quiet about it at all. And it's just like, well, what's she got that I haven't got? She's just like a woman who lives in the same town as me. I mean, yeah, I think it's like they're relatable, but also like just like so aspirational.
Right. So it's really obvious if you're very stuck in your life and you feel like you've tried everything to make a change, I can see where, particularly if you're facing a lot of those systemic barriers that that make it difficult to make a change in your life, why you would think maybe I could try and dream my way out. But you know, it ain't a good thing if actually the only effect is that you give somebody £400 and then nothing changes.
Yeah, it is, you know, it does seem like a nice alternative, but I don't know, it's like you're paying to make more money. And it's, they always use like that thing that people always say in business, like you got to spend money to make money. And I mean, like that works. I don't know, if you're like a shop and you're buying merchandise and then you're selling it. But if you're buying like universe trickery, I don't really know how that like directly results in you making money.
Yeah. I mean, I was trying to have a think about it, and I was thinking that there's kind of all these good things that are like adjacent to manifesting. I went on a date with somebody once who said, you know, The Secret had changed his life and he had, you know, got into a much better position in terms of his business and things. But he was quite open to actually discussing a more realistic kind of attitude around it. And we had a really good conversation, and I was thinking about it like, so, you know, being optimistic, which is one of the things that they talk about here, is good, right? Generally speaking, if you're completely pessimistic and fatalistic about anything ever changing for you, that is not good. It will make you miserable. So fatalism is, you know, is not good. Optimism is great. Having clear, specific goals, well, that's easier to work towards. So
yeah. And I looked into this, and there are studies that like, just not just people who do law of attraction, but people who talk about writing down your goals and like going back, a lot of law of attraction is every day looking at the thing you want. Like people, or they always say like do a vision board, or like write it down at bed like 20 times. Like it's a lot of just reminding yourself over and over again. And there are studies that people like always reference. I looked it up, and it's actually a really tiny study.
Yeah.
Only 149 people did it.
Yeah.
And so according to this study, it makes you like 42% more likely to achieve your goals if you like write them down and like always reminded of them. So people use that to like go on almost anything. Like I've even said it before, and I never looked up the study. Like I've said, like, oh, give your savings account a name and it helps you save more. And I was like, is that even true? And I really looked into like all these articles that say it, 'cause I'm not the only one. And then at the end of it, it's just this little study of 149 people, and it's, they don't even say it's to do with savings accounts, but it's just something that gets said all the time.
Yeah. I mean, I think there is a value in knowing why you're doing what you're doing and having clear goals so that you know when you've actually accomplished them. But that's a very different thing from the universe giving it to you. It's still just you saying, I know what I want, and I'm not going to be derailed or sidetracked or, you know, use this money for something else. you know,
yeah, that's very different. So law of attraction, if you ever do, like, I can't even remember what it, but there's like a little mnemonic where your goal should be like achievable, mm-hmm. or like practical or something like that.
Whereas smart goals,
that's
specific,
it, yeah,
achievable, that's measurable, realistic, and time bound.
Yes, that is it. So that's like what you tend to get in like business jargon, like training sessions. But law of attraction does not say it needs to be achievable. They say it's as easy to manifest £1 as it is to manifest £1 million. Like, right. Can you believe this?
I cannot. I mean, I can believe that they say it, but my all of my internal skeptic is having a giant tantrum at the moment. Before this episode, I actually was listening to a different podcast, because there's a fantastic podcast by Dr. Laurie Santos called The Happiness Lab. And she did a really, really great episode that I was just listening to prepare for this. And it's called Don't Accentuate the Positive. And it's in it, she talks about all of this stuff and the science behind actually why it isn't necessarily a great idea to only think positive. And one of the things that I thought was really interesting, she talks about visualization and how, because that's a really key part of manifesting, right? Is you really, really clearly imagine having the thing that you want, and as if it's already with you. And she says visualization is like a two-edged sword, which I thought was really interesting. So if you have something to do, like you have a really clear, specific set of actions to do for something. So, for example, you're going to run a race or play a piece of music in a concert or do some public speaking or something. If you visualize doing that activity over and over again and you imagine how it's going to happen in as much detail as possible, that's like physically rehearsing it. So you can mentally rehearse something and it's like physically rehearsing it. And so if you imagine doing it really, really well, then that makes the process of doing it much more automatic, as if you'd rehearsed it, and that can make it go better. So again, it's another thing that makes it seem like manifesting is working.
Yeah.
Which that I thought is, was really cool.
That's actually a really good point.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's obviously going to be better if you practice. So thinking about it all the time is practice.
Yeah, yeah. What's really interesting, though, is that she talks about an example of somebody who used to do the other thing, right? And I'll tell you at the end who this person is, but there was somebody who got told to do visualizations by their coach, and they got bored only doing the positive perfect visualizations, and they started visualizing, well, what if things went wrong this way, or what if things went wrong that way, and visualizing what they would do to respond in the event of something going wrong in you know, one way or another. And then at a really crucial key moment, they were actually doing the thing, and one of the things they had visualized did go wrong, which a manifestation expert would say, well, they brought that on themselves by visualizing the bad thing happening.
Yeah.
But actually, because they had mentally rehearsed what they would do, they had the answers, and they actually completely were able to respond effectively in that moment of what otherwise would have been total crisis. And the person who did this, it was Michael Phelps at the Beijing Olympics, when he won a gold medal and set a new world record.
That's so, it's interesting, but it just sounds true. I just, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can visualize something negative happening, but actually use that in a positive way to rehearse how you'll respond to it. It doesn't actually have to be only a perfect positive visualization, because guess what? You know, that doesn't actually help you in the event of something actually going wrong. So, yeah.
Yeah, I take manifesting like so personally, because like I feel like myself, I'm definitely like a glass half empty kind of person. Not that I'm like a completely like sad person. It's just I'm always just like, what's the catch? It's like that's why I'm a good deal hunter. I'm always like, what's the catch? Because I don't want people to say, for me to say it's a good deal, and then they do it and they'll be like, well, the postage was £20. Like I'm always just like looking for something. Yeah, I don't think my life is like a long series of like catastrophes, which is what The Secret or Law of Attraction would say that it should be. So,
yeah. Well, so this is the thing, right? Actually, I think personal finances are, or indeed any kind of finance, is exactly the realm to disprove visualization and The Secret. Because if any of this stuff were true, then there would be no underwriters, nobody who involved in any kind of risk management of any kind.
Yeah.
No insurers. These are people, yeah, who spend all of their time thinking about worst case scenarios and planning for them, or calculating the probability of them happening.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, the idea that there are no happy underwriters, no happy actuaries, no happy people who ever think about risk management, no happy project managers.
Yeah, because they're always thinking about, like, what's the worst thing that could happen? You know, yeah, people who do their preparedness for, like, natural disasters or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, all you do is think about hurricanes. It's like, does that mean you just get constant hurricanes? Like, no, that is it's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah. The minute you start thinking about it from this perspective, it just, the whole thing kind of flies apart. The funny thing is, you know, again, sort of thinking about this, I looked at a Vice article, and I think I sent it to you as well to have a look at. And there's a link between some of the kinds of thinking that people do around law of attraction and then actually some really quite serious mental health issues.
Oh, yeah.
What did you make of that?
I mean, if you're someone who suffers with anxiety, then telling someone who suffers with anxiety that those thoughts that they're having are real, like deeply, like likely to happen. You know, some people talk to me about their anxiety and they think like they're going to go outside and just like, you know, have a panic attack. Then, you know, if the law of attraction is true, then they're going to always have panic attacks.
Mm.
It's kind of, it's just, I just don't see how you can tell someone who's like already like in a poor space mentally that they should just change their thinking. I hate stuff that is just like, think yourself happy.
Mm-hmm.
Like often they're just like, well, if you're sad, then just think about something you like. It's like, I don't know, give people time to process like, that they are sad or that they are depressed, or I don't know, spend time working on that part of themselves, go and see a doctor, like go and make positive steps without, just because they're addressing the issue doesn't mean that like they'll get more of it.
Yeah, I think this is the problem. When you try and suppress a thought, which is ultimately what positive thinkers are saying, then it just comes back stronger because we can't control what we think a lot of the time. Thoughts are generated in a part of our brain that we don't have control over, and if you're constantly trying to squash down a thought, whether that's an anxious thought or a sad thought, it just pops back stronger because your brain needs you to consider this thing before it can let it go. I was looking into this and it's actually got a name. It's thought action fusion, and it kind of comes in a couple of different types. There's either believing that thinking the thing makes it more likely to happen in the real world, which I think is what you were just saying about having an anxiety attack. And then there's people who think that thinking about something is the moral equivalent to doing it. And that's really upsetting because a person can have kind of persistent thoughts about doing something horrible, you know, and that can just be generated in some part of your subconscious brain that just kind of send this unwelcome thought to you. And then if you feel guilty and responsible for that, ugh, that's gonna mess you up, right?
Yeah, I've definitely heard of that as being like a part of like OCD, that, you know, they, people don't really tend to talk about that side of OCD, but often people do think they've done things that they've thought, and it like it, they just live within this like constant like cage of guilt.
Yeah. And interesting, some of the manifesting rituals and things where you say something a certain number of times to make it come true or stop it coming true. You know, that sounds very like the compulsive actions in OCD as well.
Yeah. So interestingly, you can't, according to these things, like the universe doesn't care, doesn't like understand the like no part of it. If you're like, I don't want this to happen. The universe like hears that as like, I want this to happen. So like, if you're like thinking a negative, like, you know, I don't want someone to steal my car, someone will steal your car. it's so contradictory. And just
yeah
and like one of the worst bits in The Secret to me was like they showed someone locking up their bike with like a big padlock, and he's like shaking his head like, oh, please don't steal my bike. And then he like goes away and he comes back and someone's stolen his bike. It's so bad. And it's just, think of it, like if you apply this to money, like if you're preparing like an emergency fund, which like most people would say is a good idea for most people,
yes, very much so,
by creating that emergency fund, buying that lock, getting insurance, you're like willing the emergency to happen. It's just,
I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh, but
it's,
I mean,
really bad to laugh, because I know so many people who otherwise I'd be like, they're a really, really smart person. And then they're just, they say something that has this like little law of attraction, like edge to it. And I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's very much.
Any type of like woo woo, like even like horoscopes and stuff, I'm just a bit like, oh God. But like, I think there's like things that are harmless and things that are like, oh my God, I can't believe you think that.
Yeah, well, there was a woman who wrote to, when Oprah really endorsed The Secret, there was a woman who wrote to Oprah afterwards and said, your show has really inspired me. I'm coming off all my cancer medication. I'm going to think myself well. And Oprah got really sort of scared by that and went back on and said, yeah, I mean, The Secret is a nice idea, but we don't want to apply it to the really big things in our lives. It's really only just, you know, for trying to have a slightly more positive attitude and feel better. Because, yeah, she sort of, I think, realised the legal implications apart from anything else, but also, yeah, that there are definitely limits when you think about it in a more concrete and, frankly, life-threatening way. So I'm an anti-woo-woo kind of a person as well. I am very much in favour of taking a relatively scientific and rational approach to things most of the time, although I'm not necessarily in favour of people who say that they are very rational, because a lot of those people are really good at rationalising. They're not necessarily good at being rational, but that's a whole other... Oh, yeah. We're familiar with those people. But, I, you know, when you think about this in a logical, rational way, right, the entire evolutionary advantage to thinking and being able to imagine things is being able to run scenarios in our heads and not experience the consequences of those in the real world. Like, the point of being able to think is that we can go think to ourselves, what would happen if a saber-toothed tiger jumped out from behind that bush? How would I respond to that? What would happen if I ate berries from the poison berry bush? Oh yes, I would get really sick. I guess I won't do that. It's being able to run those negative scenarios is actually the point of being able to think.
That's always something that is like running in the back of our brains. Like, we know not to like just like jump down the stairs because you might break our legs. Like, it's not even a thought for us. We're just like, I'll just walk down the stairs normally. It's because like years of like evolution has just made it like we know what's safe and we know what's going to end up with us hurt.
But when you're dealing with a new situation, being able to think of the negatives is actually part of the benefit of being able to think. Because that's how we know how to navigate something that we've never encountered before, is being able to compare it with. So if the law of attraction was actually true, and you could, and thinking your way through the negatives of a new situation would cause it to go wrong, you lose the value of being able to think.
Yeah.
The whole point of being able to think is that it's like a safe experiment in your head about what's going to happen, where there aren't consequences in the real world.
You can do the dress rehearsal in your head.
Yeah.
That allows you to do the actual thing.
Yeah. Well. Yeah, exactly. You can do the dress rehearsal and have it go wrong, and it doesn't affect the outside world.
Yeah.
That's kind of the point of being able to think, right?
Totally.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm so glad we're on the same page about this. This is good stuff. Bronnie, so we've talked about some things that we think are not great ways of trying to bring money into your life by manifesting. What do you think are some distinctly non-manifesting ways that people can improve their finances and even manage some risks in their lives?
Yeah, I would just say that, like, being fully aware, not like ostriching your head in the sand about certain things, is always going to be the best way to think about money. Like, law of attraction would have you like forget that you have debt, but no, you should definitely not forget you have debt, because that's the way that your debt gets worse. So I think you should just, like, anything you can do to make it that, like, these things are just a part of your life, they're not like a hideous embarrassment, they're not going to make it worse by thinking about it, is always a positive thing. Like, if you can write down, I know this is like a sort of law of attraction thing, like, you know, if you do have something that, you know, you'd rather forget about, like maybe you've got like a horrible like CCJ on your credit report and it was a while ago, like maybe just write in your calendar on your phone like when it's gonna like expire and not be on there anymore. Because then it's like yes, it was a negative thing, but like there's a positive things coming. And you shouldn't just forget about them and then just like try and apply for loads of credit cards and then get rejected because that's coming up on your record.
Yeah, it's like, absolutely.
Yeah.
You mentioned having an emergency fund. Do you want to talk a little bit more about that?
Yeah, sure. So an emergency fund is just money that has to be in an easy access place. So don't put it in like an account you can only withdraw from once a year or whatever. Like, it's stupid. You might have two emergencies in a year. Just get it somewhere easy access, doesn't matter how much interest you're earning on it, and just like try and build it up. Like, first of all, make it like 1 month's worth of expenses. And then, you know, a lot of people say you should have like a year's worth of expenses in an emergency fund, which might be a lot, but I think it is a safe way to have your money. Like, definitely don't invest that money. Just keep it in a cash savings account.
Yep. Yep. And so, so having some kind of emergency fund, you say up to a year's worth of expenses, certainly, you know, somewhere between, I think a lot of the guidance is sort of 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
In the UK, I think in the States, people often say a year's worth, because...
Yeah, you've got to think, like, here, we don't tend to have huge medical bills and stuff like that. So these things can't be applied universally.
Yeah, we do have a bit more of a social safety net at the moment, certainly. Who knows in the future?
Yeah.
Yeah. What about other ways that we can kind of manage financial risk in our lives then?
Yeah,
I think... You mentioned insurances.
Yeah, obviously, some insurances you're like legally bound to have, like car insurance, for example. But, you know, it's also worth looking at other types of insurance. It's not like negative. It doesn't mean you're going to... anything necessarily as bad is going to happen to you.
I mean, I used to sell life insurance, critical illness cover and income protection for a living. That was the advice I used to give back when I was an advisor.
Yeah.
And while I would certainly always tell people not to over-insure, because it's not a great idea. It's not a good use of your money. But at the same time, there are definitely people who don't want to buy insurance because they think by insuring themselves, they're going to make the bad thing happen. And that is just untrue. You know, that is that's literally the kind of magical thinking that we're talking about here.
Yeah, so like in my day job, we talk about like sort of like end of life stuff. So like when people are like really old and they, you know, they think they might die soon. So many people are just, they don't want to talk about like what they want to happen with their family because it's kind of like saying like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
So it's just like, yeah, you know, you didn't tell them that, but then like, you know, now they're coming to it and you have died, then it's going to be a lot more complicated for them, a lot more stressful than if mm-hmm. you just like sat them down and talked for 20 minutes about, you know, the accounts you have and like packaging it all up ready for them.
Yeah, I think that's, I mean, I'm a bit older than you. And we've had to have some conversations with my parents about, you know, what's where so that we can find things in the house and, you know, what they want to have happen. And it is difficult to have those conversations and it's difficult to raise the topic. But once you've actually had them, you feel better. And it's, I think this is the other thing about law of attraction, about manifesting, is it leaves a kind of a hook in your head. There's some kind of missing piece of information that your brain wants because you aren't dealing with the reality of a situation. And if you just face it and are more realistic, you find the piece of information that your brain is missing, and you get rid of this kind of hook that keeps on snagging at you and making you think about the negative thing. Whereas once you face it, you can let it go, and it's actually lighter and easier and more relaxing.
Yeah, because my mum did like a part of a, like a round the world boat race. It's really weird.
Wow.
But so she like sailed from London to Rio, and like all the time exciting. I was like, that is the opposite of anything I'd ever do, but like go off, mum. Anyway, she did it. But like before she went, because I'm her oldest child, she like gave me like all her bank details and like everything in case she died. Mm-hmm. And like at the start I was like, whoa, like can you not? You're like only in your 50s. Like, I don't know why you're giving me all this. But then afterwards I was like, you know what? If she did die, it would just be so much easier for me to have to do that than having to like ring around and see if like, you know, at the time she was single. So like, I don't even know who to like call. I had no one to call. Mm. So, you know, if it is just on someone, it is just better to give them the information.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's like a hard and weird, awkward, like people are British, they don't like to talk about things. You know, death and money, like the worst things. And I talk about money all the time, so I should probably get used to death. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I worked for Macmillan as well for a while, Macmillan Cancer Support, and they, you know, part of the support that they give is helping people to have these difficult conversations, and it is something that your people resist, but usually feel much better for having done. So that's the counter, isn't it, to the law of attraction, is that facing, having the thought once and then letting it go lets it out of your life, whereas suppressing it and pushing it down keeps it with you.
Yeah.
So is there anything else, Bronnie, that we should be talking about on in terms of the law of attraction and manifesting? Anything else you wanted to say on this subject?
I would definitely say that, like, you know, so The Secret was released in 2006.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of been like, you know, it's very popular, but like, I think it's got a really big resurgence at the moment. Law of attraction in general is definitely down to social media. Definitely Instagram, and even TikTok has become like a weird new like manifesting thing. People always like to post little tricks, manifesting tricks on TikTok. So it's kind of like these things can just jump out at you out of nowhere.
Right.
And I think you just have to be careful about who you're following, what you see, what you're consuming, because it is like they are good at doing that salesy mind trickery, telling you that you like need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you should just never be afraid to just like disconnect, unfollow, just turn it off, because yeah, I think that's how people end up spending £400, is because they see this woman like every day. It's like the constant sale. It's like it's always there.
It has been really, really fun talking to you, Bronnie. I have enjoyed having a conversation with a fellow anti-woo-woo merchant. Where can our listeners find you if they want to hear more about you and get some of your fantastic deals?
Sure. So I am mostly on Twitter. So just like it's at and then underscore Bronny, which is Bronni. I'm also on Instagram, but like, I mean, I just feel like Instagram stifles my extreme sassiness, which I mainly do on Twitter. So if you want to see me like doing controversial back chat, definitely Twitter. And then my website is just bronni.co.uk. And I've never posted anything about manifesting, but maybe I should.
I would love that. I think that would be great. We'll if you do, let me know and we'll link it out of the show notes here.
Fab. Yeah, it's been really fun talking to you, Martha.
Thank you. And thank you so much for coming on the show. And yeah, best of luck with everything you do.
Cool.
You've been listening to Squanderlust, the podcast about the emotional side of money with me, Martha Lawton. If you've enjoyed the show, please follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We'd love one of those nice 5-star reviews too. Or you can tell a friend about us, maybe somewhere on social media where we're at SquanderlustPod. You can also find us at SquanderlustPod.com where we put show notes, useful links and ways to support the show. Squanderlust is sponsored by Wardour Studios in Fitzrovia, London, with production by David Smith, Alicia Cunningham, Charlie Brandon King and Tom Berry. Our theme music is by Wardour Studios and graphic design by Jason Reed.